Is it because of women being repressed for so long that there are not many women comedians or jokes that don't have a male chauvinistic ring to them? Do women not have such a great sense of humor as men? I'm asking this question very seriously, but would settle for a joke as an answer.
The sense of humor comes into existence at the last stage of evolution. No animal other than man has the sense of humor. Sense of humor can be called the criterion from where evolution becomes conscious. Up to man, evolution is an unconscious process. With man, something absolutely new opens its wings. Evolution is no more dependent on the blind forces of nature. Man has to take it in his own hands. Your question is immensely significant because man has not allowed woman the same status, the same position, the same freedom as he has allowed himself. The woman has lived down the ages as a prisoner. In the name of religion, in the name of morality, in the name of chastity, all great names, but hiding a simple and ugly fact, a slavery, a spiritual slavery. Education was not allowed. Social movement was not allowed. In different countries, in different ways, the woman has been reduced into a subhuman status. Because she is not educated, she has to be dependent on men financially. She cannot compete with men in the marketplace or anywhere else. She is debarred from any possible evolution of consciousness in any dimension. For example, there have not been any great painters or poets or musicians or sculptors from the world of women. Not that women is incapable or intrinsically has no potential, but potential alone is not enough. It needs opportunity to become actual, and man has removed all opportunities for women's growth. That's why there is no sense of humor in women. They cannot, in fact, enjoy laughter. Their very situation is sad. They are living in chains, invisible. They are living in prisons. But they have lived in those prisons for so long that everybody has forgotten that they are prisons. They are in every way handicapped. Prevented from everything creative. Even prevented from being spiritual beings. It is a very sad story that half of the humanity has been prevented from every creative dimension. And this half of the humanity has far bigger a heart than man, has more capacity for sensitivity than man, can create in many dimensions far more superior than any man. But just she has not been given any opportunity. On the contrary, all kinds of preventive measures have been taken. So that she remains enslaved. It is so ugly, so condemnable, that because of this, very few women could become enlightened, and they have more potential for it than men. for the simple reason because nature endows them in few dimensions with greater energy and greater power, because they have to be mothers. Nature depends on them for reproduction, for life to continue. Man's hand in life's perpetuation is negligible. On the contrary, man has been the cause of bringing destruction and death to millions of people around the globe, as back as you can go, you will always find men fighting. His whole effort, his whole intelligence and genius has been devoted singularly in creating more powerful weapons to destroy. Woman is the source of life. Man seems to be in the service of death. And of course, the source of life has more creative possibilities than man can ever have. It is not a coincidence that even those few men who have been great musicians or dancers or poets or painters in some way became as graceful as women. Friedrich Nietzsche has a great insight when he said that I cannot accept Gautam Buddha because he has a feminine quality. Friedrich Nietzsche is deep down a male chauvinist. In Gautam Buddha's whole life and his whole philosophy, he finds only one thing that is significant to him, and that is the feminine grace of the man. And because of that, he condemns Gautam Buddha. His condemnation is not based on any argument against the philosophy of Gautam Buddha. His condemnation is based that his philosophy must be wrong because it creates a feminine grace. It makes people incapable of violence. His meditation technique will destroy war, and without war there will be no great men. It is the war that creates great leaders. A strange argument in favor of war. A very strange idea against peace, against silence, against grace, against enlightenment itself. But as far as I am concerned, to me it shows that the woman has more potential to become enlightened. She is far more closer to enlightenment, because she already had the grace. She already had a loving heart. She has been corrupted badly, poisoned badly, but still, in spite of all that has been done to her, she is capable of coming out of the dark night. The woman had nothing to laugh. She has only things to weep and cry for. She knows perfectly well how to cry. She is expert in tears. Laughter has been a far away goal. What the woman has to laugh about? Her whole life is so badly damaged. Her potential has been so much crushed. Her individuality has been kept in such a bondage. Her wings have been cut. Her roots destroyed. No other class has suffered so much through the hands of men as women. And she has given birth to men. And she has raised men. And she has loved men. And she has been a companion to him in the darkest nights. She has been a solace in the most depressive moments. She has been an ointment for all his wounds. Still, man has paid her only with slavery, more slavery. It seems there is some psychological fear. Man seems to have sensed at the very beginning that woman has some more superior powers, some more vitality, and if she is allowed total freedom to grow, she will go far ahead than men. It is better to keep her wings cut so she cannot fly in the open sky, to keep her weak, to teach her, condition her, that you have to depend on men. The Hindu scriptures say, when you are a small girl, you should depend on your father. When you are a young woman, you should depend on your husband. And when you are an old woman, you should depend on your children. But you should always depend. You should never be independent. Ugliest words of abuse have been used by all so-called holy scriptures. And the ultimate result is that woman has become very bitter. Her whole being has become a cry for revolt. She is not at peace to laugh at things. She is in utter misery and despair. And unless she becomes liberated, she will not have the sense of humor. Once she becomes liberated, she will leave men far behind in all creative dimensions. And she will be really joyous and playful. Naturally, she is not serious. She is not concerned with serious things. Man by nature seems to be serious. If you talk about non-serious things, he thinks you are being childish. The woman never talks about God. Are about heaven, are about hell. She is not interested in the holy gospels. She is interested in all the unholy gossips. She is interested in a very nearby life. She is pragmatic, practical, realistic. She is not a stargazer. I am reminded about a great astrologer. The story is from ancient Greece, from the times of Socrates. The astrologer was looking at the stars. in the night and going to look at the stars out of the city in the open to watch better with primitive instruments. And because he was looking towards the sky and not looking at the earth, he fell into a well. And he shouted. An old woman living by the side in her farm came to rescue her. And when he was out of the well, he said to the old woman that you may not know me. I am the greatest astrologer in the whole land. I am the astrologer of the king, not only of Greece, but of many other countries. Even very rich people stand in queue to see me, but for you, I will do a favor. You have saved my life. You can come any day you want. And I will read your birth chart, look into your future, into your past, and I will not charge you anything. The old woman laughed and he said, forget all about it. I am not going to come. Because if you cannot see that a well is ahead of you, what more future? First learn to see what is ahead of you, then start telling others what is in their unknown future. Don't befool me. You can befool the kings. Even if you pay me, I am not going to come. I have seen your reality. Man has always been interested in faraway things. The woman is never interested in faraway things. Her interest is very real. And if she was allowed freedom and she will have to be allowed because it is time, this kind of slavery cannot be tolerated anymore, neither by women nor by any man who has any compassion, any intelligence, any love. This situation has to be totally changed. Then she will sing songs that her past is absolutely absent about. She will dance, and she will dance better than any Nijinsky. She will paint better than any Picasso. And her songs and her paintings and her music and her dances will be closer to life, more sane, more healthier. And once she is completely liberated, she will be able to produce more Buddhas, more Bodhidharmas, more Jesuses than man has been able. And one thing can be said with absolute certainty, that she will not crucify a Jesus. She will not poison a Socrates. She will not murder a Mansur. That is simply inconceivable about woman. Man is destructive, woman is creative. Her laughter will also be of a different quality, of a far more superior quality, more innocent and more childlike. But Manisha, it has not been up to now possible. Simply because the woman has not been accepted as a human being. And she has been forced to remain in the shadows, never to come out into light. But I would like my people, whether they are men or women, to feel sad about the past, and to do everything to break away from the past and its ugly inheritance. A complete discontinuity I teach. And the woman should be given her rights to grow in her own uniqueness, and that will enhance the whole society. It will enhance men too, because the man begins his life in the woman's womb. 9 months he is one, totally one with the woman. And scientists say in 9 months the child grows as much as he will not grow in the coming 70 years of his life. those 9 months are condensed growth. Almost unimaginable, because the child has to pass through all the stages that man has passed in the whole evolution, almost millions of years have to be passed in 9 months' time, from the fish to the man. The first stage of the child in the mother's womb is that of a fish. And then he passes through all the stages of other animals. He has lived inside the woman. And you will be surprised that Sigmund Freud and his school of psychologists have contributed many great insights. One of them is that man's whole search for paradise or a heaven or the kingdom of God or nirvana is nothing but the search of the mother's womb. Those beautiful 9 months without any responsibility, not even the responsibility to breathe. The mother was breathing for you. Not even the responsibility to bother about your food. No question of past, no question of future, just the present moment, and everything is available. Before the child asks, everything is available to the child. Sigmund Freud feels that those 9 months have remained in the unconscious and they are creating the urge to find those golden moments again. Certainly you cannot enter in the mother's womb again. But he has some great idea and great insight. You can enter in the womb of the whole existence and nirvana or the kingdom of God is nothing else than entering into the womb of existence itself, where no responsibility, no burden, no fear, no death, but only a pure, eternal dance of blissfulness. The moment the woman is totally free, not only she will make life more peaceful, more full of laughter, she will make man also calm down, less tense. And you all know it. In ordinary experiences it happens. If two persons are fighting and a woman comes in, they calm down. They become just gentlemen immediately because the lady has come in. They cannot use the dirty language that they were using. They cannot behave barbarously the way they were behaving. Just now in America, in few federal jails, they are experimenting and mixing women prisoners and men prisoners together. Up to now, the jails are separate. And just few months' experience, and strange conclusions have come into light. The most important is that the male prisoners have become less dangerous. A certain calmness and quietness just because of the presence of women amongst them. And the jail psychologists are simply surprised. The very ferocious criminals, murderers, rapists, even they have started behaving in a better way. They have started saving twice a day. They, in their jails, are running out of eau de Cologne. Because men are asking continuously for eau de Cologne. Because they don't want the women should see that they are smelling badly. They are asking for combs and mirrors. New demands that they had never bothered about. They are taking regular baths and asking for fresh clothes every day. Their habits have changed. Otherwise, they were constantly quarreling and fighting amongst themselves. But the presence of women has changed the whole atmosphere. Although they are not allowed to make love, so the prisoners are complaining only of one thing. They have not raped any woman, which was expected, that whether you allow or not, they have been raping outside the jail. That's why they are being put in the jail. And you provide women, it is taking a risk. But no woman has been raped in the jail. On the contrary, their complaint is that since women have come in the jail, they are being constantly watched, and that has become a tension in their minds. The jail authorities are continuously watching from every window, from every door, from every keyhole. They are watching that nothing, no harm is being done to the women. And the prisoners had complained that this is insulting. This is humiliating us. Nobody is behaving badly with women, but constantly being watched is against human dignity. We may be criminals, but still we are human beings, and we don't want that whole night somebody is watching. We cannot even sleep without being watched. Otherwise, they are very happy, and they have welcomed the women, and the women have also been in a great surprise that nobody has harmed them, and the atmosphere has certainly lost its heat, anger, and a certain calmness has settled. If all over the world the woman is allowed freedom to grow to her potential, there will be many, many women enlightened, many, many women mystics, poets, painters, and they will enhance not only the woman part of the world, because the world is one, they will enhance the whole world, and they will give men also new dimensions, because their ways of seeing things are different. Man looks at things in a different way. The woman looks from a different perspective, and life will become more richer. It is for both and their betterment that the woman should be given every freedom and equal opportunity for her individuality. Then there will be a sense of humor, and the woman can laugh more gracefully than man, and she has every potential for it, but repressed, condemned, criticized. She has lived a life of such misery that you cannot hope that she will show some sense of humor. But the day is not far away when the whole earth will be full of laughter, instead of talks about war, instead of politicians giving speeches all around the world, instead of sermons of stupid priests who know nothing, it will be far better that every man and every woman are capable to see the hilarious side of life and to enjoy it. Two jokes for you, Manisha. On his way home from work one day, the husband was suddenly filled with inspiration and bought his wife a bunch of flowers. Wanting to surprise her, he knocked on the front door and waited by the corner. When his wife opened the door, he jumped out in front of her and with a big smile handed her the flowers. The smile froze on his face as she burst into angry tears. "My God, what is the matter, honey?" he asked. "I have had a terrible day," she cried. "This morning I broke the teapot. The baby has been crying all day long. And now, to top it all off, you come home drunk." Because this must have been the first time that he has brought flowers out of great inspiration. The poor woman cannot laugh. On the contrary, the man's smile becomes frozen. He cannot believe that this will be the reception of the great inspiration. A man went to visit an old married couple he had not seen for some time. The old housewife greeted him at the door, and the man asked, "Hello, Mabel, and how is Jack?" "Did not you hear?" said Mabel. "He died a little while ago." "I am very sorry to hear that, Mabel," said the man. "Tell me, how did it happen?" "Well," said Mabel, "he had gone into the garden to pick some vegetables for our dinner when he just collapsed and died." "Good Lord," said the man, "that's simply terrible. What on earth did you do?" "What could I do? I opened a tin of peas."
I often feel dominated by my emotions. Is it easier to free myself from this domination by expressing these emotions or simply watching them?
No one can bring these two things together. You will have to choose one. My suggestion is that watch everything with equal distance, with equal aloofness, sadness, anger, jealousy, happiness, joy, love. Remain aloof from all and just be total in your watching. Your watchfulness should be total. You be identified with your watching, because that is your nature. That's what you are. There is no question of disidentifying with it. Even if you try, you cannot succeed. Your intrinsic nature is simply that of a witness, a single quality of awareness makes your whole being. So watch everything as a cloud passing by. I can see your difficulty. You would like to be identified with love. You would like to be identified with happiness. And you would like not to be identified with sadness, not to be identified with misery. But this kind of choice is not allowed by existence. If you really want to get beyond the mind and all its experiences, sadness and joy, anger and peace, hate and love. If you want to get beyond all these dualities, you have to watch them equally. You cannot choose. If you choose, you will not be able to watch those which you don't want to choose. So the first thing is that just be a watcher. It will be a little difficult in the beginning to watch those things which are so sweet, so beautiful. Because watching makes you distant from every experience that is passing by like a cloud. You cannot cling. Up to now, that's what you have been doing. clinging to that which you think is good and trying to get away from that which you think is ugly and miserable. But you have created only a mess of yourself. You have not been successful. The best way is to be totally a watcher. But if you find it difficult, there is an alternative. But that is harder than this. That is more difficult than this. Then get identified with every cloud that moves. Misery then become absolutely miserable. Then don't hold anything. Just go with it. To the very end of it. If angry, then be angry. And do whatsoever stupidity it suggests you to do. If some crazy cloud passes by, be crazy. But then don't miss anything. Whatever comes to you, be totally with it in that moment. And when it is gone, it is gone. This also will liberate you, but it is a more difficult path. If you want something really dangerous to play with, you can get identified with everything. Then don't make any difference that this is good to get identified and this is bad to get identified. Then there is no question. Without any discrimination, get identified. And within a week, you will be finished with it. Just 1 week will be enough. Because so many things are passing by. You will be so tired, so exhausted. If you survive, we will meet again. If you don't survive, goodbye. But this is a dangerous path. I have never heard anybody surviving. And you know perfectly well what kind of things come to your mind. Sometimes you feel like barking. Then get into it. Bark like a dog. And whatever the world thinks, let them think. You have chosen your path. You will get free. Perhaps totally free. Enlightenment and freedom from body will come together. But it is a bit dangerous. People may try to prevent. Because nobody knows what kind of things come to your mind. your own people, your friends, your family, your wife, your husband, may try to prevent you. There are many people all over the world which families have forced into insane asylums, because that was the only way to protect them. And this happens everywhere. Just now, the world has come to know that England's royal family has been keeping two persons belonging to the royal family for 40 years. Logged into a basement in the Buckingham Palace, and this was not released, this was not allowed to know, because even to accept that royal people can go mad is humiliating. Royal blood. And for 40 years they have been hiding the fact that where these people have disappeared. And just now it has leaked out. And then they have to accept that they have been keeping them in a basement because they were behaving in an insane way, and they did not want the world to know that members of the royal family of England are behaving insanely. But this goes on happening. In my village, the richest family had one person locked inside in their house his whole life. Everybody knew that something has happened to the person because he suddenly disappears. But it has been before 60 years. So by and by people had forgotten. I had to just by chance come to know, because one of the sons of the man who was kept in chains was my student, and because he was from my own village, he used to come to see me often. And just one day I asked that, I have never seen your father. He became very sad and he said, I cannot lie to you, but what is happening to my father is such a heavy weight on my heart, because my family is the richest family of the village. They don't want to know anybody what they are doing with my father. They beat him. He has been encaged almost like a wild animal. He cries shouts, it screams, but nobody listens. Nobody goes near. Just from the top, food is dropped to him. Everything that he needs from the top is dropped. Nobody wants even to face him. I asked what he has done. He said, nothing special, just he was crazy. He used to do things which are not normal. For example, he may go naked into the market. Now, there was no harm. He has not done any harm to anybody. He has just been walking naked in the marketplace. But that was enough for the family to force him, and they made him more and more insane. This was not going to help. This was not a cure, not a treatment. So if you get identified with all your ideas, then you should think before you start the practice, that what people will think about it and how they will behave with you. Although it is possible to get free of all those emotions if you get identified with all of them without any choice, either be choicelessly identified or be choicelessly unidentified. The real thing is choicelessness. But the first way, you will be on a safer ground. Be a choiceless watcher. Don't choose something good and don't throw away something bad. Nothing is good, nothing is bad. Only witnessing is good and non-witnessing is bad. Doctor, said the housewife, I have come to see you about my husband. We have been married for over 25 years. He has been a good husband, happy, contented, and very devoted to me. But since he came to see you about his headaches, he has been a different man. Now he never comes home at night. He never takes me out anymore. He never buys me anything, nor gives me any money. Hell, he never even looks at me. Your treatment seems to have changed his entire personality. Treatment? Said the doctor. All I did was give him a prescription for a pair of glasses. Because he was not able to see exactly. Now, for the first time, he has seen the woman. So just a pair of glasses can do a dramatic change. The whole personality, his whole behavior. Otherwise, he used to be a very loyal husband. And this will not be such a small thing, just a pair of glasses. If you start getting identified with everything, you will be in difficulty from every corner. It is better to choose the safer way and all awakened people have chosen that. It is without exception the sanest path towards enlightenment.